So for tonight,
we're continuing on in Nevertheless I Live book, and on chapter 5, where it talks about five forms for a firm foundation. And that's the idea we've considered, is that our lives, if they're going to be stable, if they're going to be resilient when we face different challenges, they need to have a good foundation. And when we've struggled with different things in terms of addiction or mental health issues, a lot of times the issue is because we never had that foundation developed. And so we can't just say, oh, there's no hope for me. It's like, okay, how do I, fix that foundation in my life so that I have it stronger? And so it's the idea is that you build a form that you pour concrete in, and then you have something solid. And so these different things we've looked at kind of give us those things. If we build these in our lives, it will strengthen the foundation of our lives, make us more resilient. And so we've looked at the idea of following, of focus, of fruitfulness, and tonight we're going to consider the thought of fulfilling God's requests and what that means. And so continuing on in Luke chapter 6, Jesus asks this question. He says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And so it's definitely a provoking question that he asks, and that's what we want to look at this evening. So we want to consider, of course, fulfilling God's request. God has things he desires for us to do, and in many ways we should want to do them, but we struggle with obedience. All of us, we do have that kind of rebellious streak within us where we want to be in charge. We don't want to do what others tell us to do, even if it's something good. And so we want to learn to develop obedience in our lives, primarily to God more than anything else. And so obedience to God is a prerequisite for success in supporting your structure of life. That if we have that rebellious streak and we never deal with that, that's always going to lead us to problems. If we're we always buck authority, and specifically God's authority, then we're going to have trouble. And the thing as well is obedience to God is a fundamental element in living a victorious Christian life, because he wants us to live in victory, and so he gives us keys to victory. But if we continue to say, oh no, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to do it my way, then we're going to end up defeated over and over again. And the thing is, God has things he wants for us to do. He wants to give us direction in life. And so he seeks to communicate with us. And he uses various different means. He can use different individuals in our life. Preachers, teachers, counselors that can speak to us of his truth. Of course, he wants to speak to us through his word as we read it and study it, meditate on it. As we pray, that we want it to be something where it's not just us with kind of this kind of wish list of all the stuff that we want. We want it to become this two-way communication where we're able to talk with God and he communes with us. And then as well, we realize his spirit is within us and he's communicating to us in different ways. And so he's doing all these things because he wants us to know and fulfill his will for our lives. That it's kind of the thing, we can be thankful for that, that it isn't where God is fickle, where he says, well, this is what I want for your life, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to just kind of guess, and if you get it wrong, you kind of learn by trial and error. No, he wants to make things clear to us so we know what to do. And but he wants us to know because there's the expectation for us to do it. He's not going to hold us accountable for something that we're ignorant of. And so he wants us to know for our own good. But we want to understand that God's commands are not grievous or unreasonable. Grievous has the idea of being too much to bear. And we've kind of looked at that, because you think of, if you were to summarize what God's commands are, it's love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, love your neighbor as yourself. That we look at that, okay, well, that's pretty reasonable. We think of the golden rule, where it's like, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. That makes sense, right? It's like, I wouldn't want someone to mistreat me, and so I'm not going to mistreat other people. And there's just kind of the thing, too, is like God says to forgive, and we say, well, I don't want to forgive, but we realize, well, He says, I've forgiven you, so I want you to return that forgiveness. And so you say, well, that is reasonable. If I get this from God, it isn't right for me to enjoy that and then not share it with anyone else. And so we realize that God's commands are good for us. They're given for our good, and our lives are blessed as we keep them. And we see, just a couple of verses here, but I'm just going to read Isaiah chapter 48. Verse 17, it says, Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. That he wants our lives to be profitable. He says, O that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, and had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. And he is saying that if you had listened to me, you would have really had a lot of benefits to your life. And because you didn't, you missed out. And so we realize that this is for our good. If God has a request for us, it isn't that he's yanking our chain. He's doing something for our benefit. And the thing, too, is when we obey God's commands, it demonstrates several things. First off, it demonstrates our trust in God. Because he's saying, I want you to go this way. And if we're fearful, if we're doubting, we say, well, I don't know if that's a good idea. I'm going to kind of stay where I seem comfortable. Then we're not going to do what he says. But if we say, okay, this is what he says, I trust him, I don't know what all the consequences will be, but I'm sure that it's for a reason. And so when we obey, we show that we trust God. It also shows that we love God, that Jesus says in another place, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so we think of that. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That we cherish our relationship with him. He wants us to do something that just because we love him, we want to please him. And as well, it's the idea that it shows our respect for him. If we keep the commandments, it shows that we fear the Lord, that we honor him, that he says, okay, he is my authority in my life, and he is God. I'm going to respect what he has to say. But this is the thing, is that we can know what God wants us to do, we can be convinced that it's good for us to do, and we can have a desire to do it, but what happens is often when it comes to actually doing that thing, fulfilling God's request, we struggle, and self finds a way to hold us back. Just providing an excuse, or just basically throwing up, maybe it might be anxiety, maybe it might be feelings of rebellion, or whatever it might be, where we're kept from that. And we see this happens to all of us, because we see with the Apostle Paul, who we would look at, well, boy, he was a really good guy, and he never seemed to have any problems, but we see his testimony says, Romans chapter 7, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And so he says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. He's trying to stop some things, but yet he can't stop doing them. And there's things that he wants to get started doing, and he just can't seem to get it put into practice. And so he realized that that there is a war going on within him that was keeping him from doing this. That God's path that he's leading out is going to be good. It's going to be profitable, but being able to accept that is difficult. And so we want to understand is that there is a process that goes on within us that helps us to get to this point where we develop that habit of obedience to the Lord. And so we think about it with Jesus' disciples that while Jesus was on this earth, they had a lot of different issues. That sometimes they were bickering about who was the greatest. Sometimes they were, I know Peter was very impetuous with a lot of things he did. And of course, they said, oh yeah, Jesus, we're dedicated to you. And he says, oh, you're all going to forsake me. And Peter's like, oh no, I'd never do that. I'd die for you. And he says, well, you're going to deny me three times. And so we would think, okay, yeah, they're not doing very good, and Jesus is right there with them. And so he's talking to them in John 16, verse 7. It says, it's expedient for me that I go away. And expedient is kind of the thing. It's the idea of, like, if you expedite a parcel, it gets you there faster, right? And so it's the idea is that if Jesus was to go away, they would get to where they need to go faster. And so that doesn't seem to make any sense to us initially. But, of course, we do find, as we read in Acts, that after Jesus left, that a great change came upon these 11 men, and they went on to change the world. That they, before they were afraid, now they're bold, and all pretty well all of them were willing to give their lives for Jesus' sake. And so what changed, we understand, is that they are now indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And that's what he said, is that he had to go away for the Comforter to come. The Comforter being the Holy Ghost. And so, just as with Jesus' disciples, the same is true for us, that the Holy Spirit that indwells us, he guides us into truth, and he gives us power. And so John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so he's going to guide us into all truth. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 it talks about that we will receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon us. And so we think of that, that the Holy Spirit is our guide for truth, and he is our power to be able to fulfill what that truth is leading us to do. And so this is how it works, that as truth is brought to us, whether it's through God's word, whether it's someone sharing God's truth with us, that the Spirit within us will kind of draw our attention to it, and he'll guide and direct us in a certain area of life, of a decision we need to make, of a change we need to make in our lives, maybe something that we need to establish in our life, maybe something that we need to reduce in our life or remove completely, just so that we can take positive steps in our growth. And so he often uses conviction of that truth and our failure to fulfill it. And so we have different times we get this feeling of conviction that comes over us. And it's something that it's not always a good feeling. That we have different feelings of guilt or shame. And of course, what our tendency sometimes can be is we want to push that out of our mind. That if there might be somewhere they might feel conviction for the first time in a church service and be so frightened by it that it's like, I'm never going to that church again because I don't want to feel uncomfortable like that. But the thing is we want to understand is that conviction does make us uncomfortable, but as we ask, we say, okay, God's showing me something, it is for my good, and we say, oh Lord, help me to do what you want me to do, help me to follow this leading and conviction you're giving in my life, then he sends the power of the Holy Spirit upon us to make us comfortable doing something that we previously were uncomfortable doing. And so, it's kind of learning that it's, say if we say, well, there's something I need to do in my life, say if it's like I need to develop more of a prayer life. And so it's like, well, Lord, I want to follow in this. And you know, you start out and it's just like you don't know what to say and it's just all confusing. But then the Lord just kind of comes with you. The Holy Spirit actually comes alongside and prays with you. And you find you're able to pray and you didn't think you could. But it's kind of the thing where we're uncomfortable, but as he gives us that strength, we're made comfortable doing that. And so we want to think of it this way, that the primary function of the indwelling Holy Spirit is to make us uncomfortable with error in our lives. And so that's the thing, he's within us, he sees what our thoughts are, he sees what we're focused on, and so he draws our attention. Okay, this is an issue that needs to be dealt with. This is what we think of principle number two, every sin has its origin in our hearts. And so he sees our hearts, he says, okay, this is going to lead you to a bad place if you don't deal with it as soon as possible. And so he helps us to see that. And of course, sometimes we like to convince ourselves, oh yeah, I've got it all together, I don't have any problems, and everybody else has the problems, not me. Where we realize even as we grow and we make progress, there's still different things that we need to deal with. And a lot of times, the sooner we deal with them, the sooner they're brought to the light, the better. But then as well, the primary function of the influence of the Holy Spirit upon us is to give us the power to be comfortable with his direction so that we may fulfill the leading of the Holy Spirit correcting that error. And so he's helping us. We feel uneasy about something, but he gives us that courage to be able to do it. I think it was a quote by John Wayne, but it was like, courage is being afraid but saddling up anyways. That it's where you don't allow your fear to cripple you. You say, okay, I'm going to step forward because this is what God wants me to do. And it's actually interesting when you see, I'm just actually going through the book of Joshua in my morning devotions right now. And there's a lot that God repeats about being strong and of a good courage. And It's the thing, is God wants us to do something. It takes courage to step out of where we are to do something different. And the truth is that we would prefer to just stay in our comfort zone. But it's our unwillingness to leave our comfort zone that keeps us from a lot of good that God wants to do both in us and through us. That it's kind of the thing is that you think about it of how, say maybe you feel kind of shy around people, you don't know what to say, you feel really nervous, and so it would be easy just to kind of stay introverted, not kind of try anything new, but instead it's like, okay, I'm going to try to meet people, I'm going to try to learn how to do this, and you might kind of falter and kind of flub it a bit to start with, but if you keep trying, right, then you get to a point where, hey, I'm starting to gain some confidence socially, I'm interacting with people, I'm making new friends, I'm able to do different things. That it's the thing, is that you have to get out of your comfort zone in order to experience some of that. And the Lord's trying to help us. Okay, I got something really good for you. Yeah, it seems a little bit scary, but it's going to be okay. And if we hold back, then we miss out. And it's instead learning to listen to that. When he's trying to push us a certain way or lead us a certain way, we say, okay, I'm going to trust you. And then we find out that it was worth it. And so this is the thought. The Holy Spirit is referred to as a comforter. And we really want to think of it this way. If God intended us for all us always to just be comfortable, then why would he have sent the comfort? Right? It's the expectation is that we're going to be in uncomfortable situations. And because of we are, we have the Holy Spirit as that resource to give us comfort, to make us feel, okay, I can do this. God's leading me this way. God's going to be with me. He's going to enable me to do this, and I don't have to be afraid. And so this verse found this morning says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. And then that's what we want God to do, to teach us to do his will. That we don't just want God, okay, show me what your will is, and then we don't end up fulfilling it, right? Instead, it's like, teach me, Lord, how to do your will. And he says, thy spirit is good, lead me in the land of uprightness. That's where we want to be, in a place where we're doing what God says, we're fulfilling his commandments, we're walking uprightly. And we've considered that idea of upright is where you can walk and your head isn't up low because you're not living in shame. You're living a life where, okay, I have nothing to be ashamed of, and I can hold my head high. And so that's what the way that we want to live, and so we want God to lead us into that place. And so we want to understand that God's Spirit works within us to not only show us the right path to take, but also to give us the power to do so. And so we want to recognize his work within us and really be looking to him and say, okay, what do I do in this situation? What decision do I need to make? And then we realize what that decision is. We feel a bit uneasy about it. And we go to him, okay, I see this is what you want. And this worries me, but I want to trust you. Just give me the strength to be able to do this and fulfill your will for my life. And as he does so, then we see that he blesses us and gives us what we need. And so as we learn to trust and submit to his leading, we are enabled to fulfill God's requests, and our lives are blessed as a result. That so often in life before, we were led by our flesh, led by whatever urge we had, led by whatever kind of thing came across that seemed interesting, and we pursued after these things, and it led us to trouble. Whereas instead, if we say, okay, I'm going to follow him, he's going to get us to where we want to go in life. All right, so any...